Diego.
Good afternoon. You're listening to WDRT Viroqua.
Mama's in the kitchen, I heard the back door slam. Come out of that kitchen, honey, and for scorching that ham. And let's fan it.
Fan it.
Oh, fan it.
Oh, fan it.
You gotta fan it and cool it, honey, till the cows come home.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Who's in the Kitchen. You're listening to WDRT 91.9 FM and streaming live on the internet at WDRT.org. And we're coming from Viroqua, Wisconsin, in the Driftless area, southwestern Wisconsin. We're a community radio station, and all of us are volunteers, and we have local programming and music all day and all night, and this is a cooking show, and I take a lot of liberty because I'm very interested in food of all kinds, and gardening and farming, and so I can cover a lot of topics. And today I have a couple, the Sheldons, who have a lavender farm, and so we're going to talk about lavender. And I know I'm really interested, and I'm thinking that my listeners will be interested in this crop that maybe we haven't seen being grown in Vernon County. And I met them at the farmer's market here in Viroqua. And so they're going to be on my show. So welcome.
Hi.
Betsy and Lee Sheldon. And the name of their farm is Lolelar. So, of course, I'm going to ask you how you got that name.
Yeah, we got three girls, and their names are Lorelai, but we call her Lolo, and then Leal and Larkin.
What pretty girls' names. Wow, that's really nice. Mm-hmm. And how long have you been in the area?
Born and raised in Viroqua.
Really cool. So yeah. Did you go to Viroqua school?
Yes.
All the way through? And Betsy, you said you were in Liberty Pole. You grew up in Liberty Pole. Did you go to the Liberty Pole school?
Yep, went to Liberty Pole school.
That was a great little school.
And had to move to the big town of Viroqua.
Right.
In grade 5.
Big city.
Yeah,
right.
Oh yeah. It was scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then you went to Viroqua Public Schools.
Yep.
That is just cool because I think a lot of the local people, especially when I moved here in the 70s, people your age were leaving. There just really wasn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And farming was kind of iffy. And so we moved in while young people were moving out and we sort of took their place.
Sure.
So the people next door to me... just over the hill, I had to walk, you know, across some fields to get over to their place. They were from Liberty Pole, the Haters.
Okay.
And very, very sweet people, and they had a farm, and they lived a very sweet and simple life, and didn't hardly leave the farm.
Yeah.
And so that was... I've watched a lot of changes. Have you been here all along, or have you left?
I left. Went to Colorado for a couple of years.
Oh, you did?
Yep. Came back and met my husband. Even though we knew each other in school.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Well, did you leave, Lee? Did you?
The furthest I moved was I was down in Darlington just for a little while.
Uh huh.
Staying with my grandma because I was working down there. I just got a new job.
Uh huh.
But then I've mainly been Viroqua, or I was in Stoddard for a little bit, La Crosse, so all around the area.
But. Oh, well, now what kind of work were you doing then?
I'm an electrician, commercial electrician.
Oh, not a problem getting work.
No.
I know. Yep. It's hard to get an electrician.
Yeah,
I might take down your number.
Quite a bit, yeah.
Do you still do it or not now?
Yep, I still do it. Full time.
Oh, great. Okay. And so now you have you've acquired a place up by Cashton. When did you do that?
That was 2019.
Yep.
Is when we bought it. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
so,
before the COVID hit.
Oh, okay. So what kind of a place is it? Did you get a house and land or and how many acres? And tell us about your homestead.
Yeah, we searched. We wanted our children to go to Cashton, just a smaller school district. And so we found this place in Cashton, and it's down on a, you can't see our house from the road. It's on a dead-end road, long driveway.
What road is that?
We're on Maple, mm-hmm. so just off of Manna on 33.
Mm-hmm.
15 acres and a house and some buildings, and it was perfect.
We knew
that's what it was.
We're
so
pretty fortunate to.
Wow, that's a pretty
that
area.
It's so beautiful.
Along 33. That
it's
is beautiful.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Amish there too, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is a big Amish community and tourism because you can stop in and go to Amish shops. And
we're right
like
next
that.
To the Maple Ridge Orchard.
Oh,
out there
okay.
on the hill.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you have the idea of doing lavender? Well, how did that come into your consciousness?
So after we bought it, and I was at work one night. I'm a nurse,
mm-hmm.
And right now I work with addiction. But I was at work one night in a nursing home, was where I was working, and I was like, "What are we gonna do with this land?" You know? And
oh, you didn't really have a plan.
No, and so I Googled it, and one of our options was lavender, and we loved lavender.
Yeah.
So we're like, I brought it to him, and he did research and. So let's try it.
Yeah, sounds like a good challenge.
Yeah.
That is amazing. So it's not like you apprenticed to a lavender farm for years or something like that.
No, didn't even know they existed.
Oh, my gosh.
I am so interested because I just buy lavender plants every year and put them in the ground and consider them cut flowers because I can't get them to go through the winter. So I think that it is kind of iffy in our zone. I mean, it's hard on lavender to try to get through. But you are growing it as a perennial, and it's... It's surviving.
Yeah. We have 450 plants right now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just so challenging. So how did you learn how to do it? Just by reading?
Oh. I'll give this one to Lee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of mistakes. But we, so to get it through the winter, I tried lots of different things. And the first year they all died. And then the second year we had quite a few more, and just about all those died except for, I think there's 9 or 10 of them that made it. And the ones that made it were underneath, I built like a little makeshift greenhouse tunnel for them, and they made it through. So then I knew that we were onto something.
Okay,
the rest of them were,
so how high is that tunnel? Just a foot or two? Or
yeah, just probably about a foot over top of the bush. So it's probably 2 feet, 3 feet high tops. So I just took some PVC, which now I do EMT. I'm an electrician, so I come across this material. So I just use EMT, and I bend it around the LP tank, and it makes a perfect hoop. and then we've got some like greenhouse fabric. So I put that over, and those were the ones that survived.
And you don't put anything over the fabric. I mean, you don't put straw or anything. It's just that little tiny change in the climate. That's mm-hmm. all you need. Because I think you told me, Betsy, that they don't want to be mulched. They don't want to be covered with straw. And that's kind of the mistake I've made, I guess.
Yeah,
we tried that. The first year we tried straw. And we threw straw down, and it was knee-high on us. It was well covering them. And I don't know if just all the melting snow and then it freezes and then it melts and freezes. I don't know if that's what did it, but it was nothing made it through that. Then I did some more reading, and it's really hard to come across answers. It seems like nobody wants to give out answers. But I tried burlap, bought rolls of burlap, and tried that second year. So I had some burlap covering them. I had some burlap with straw the combination, and then I did that greenhouse that I was talking about. So the burlap and the straw still didn't work that year, but the greenhouse fabric did.
That's amazing. Is mm-hmm. that white, or what does that look like?
That was, I suppose that was the greenhouse. That was just the clear film, but that's what that was. And then now I use, it's called Agrabon, and this is an actual fabric.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we tried mm-hmm. this last year.
Mm-hmm.
I did Agrabon, and then, you know, only Agrabon, and then I did some Agrabon with the hoops, with the greenhouse film over it, and all the plants made it. So no straw, no burlap, just Agrabon fabric and the greenhouse film.
So the greenhouse film, that doesn't let air in, does it? That's
no.
plastic, kind of.
That's yeah. that's plastic, yeah. Yep. Yeah. But the thing with that is I would, on the ends, so I use sandbags, right, to cover, to hold the plastic down.
Uh-huh.
That way I can always vent it if mm-hmm. I wanted to. If it gets hot, you know, like January, February, sometimes you get some nice warm days, I could always take it off and vent them. Or even getting into March, it's really difficult because it changes so much, March and April, the weather does.
It's really chores, running out, you know, at least a couple of times a day.
Yeah, it can get up to 70 real quick, and then the high, you know, it could be snowing the next day. So that's why I used the sandbags, so I was able to control the environment inside of that tunnel.
You're really being scientific about this. I mean, you're learning. I did this test pot.
I had a lot of different stuff going on because I wanted to figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is really sickening to see your plants die, especially if you're getting into the hundreds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big...
You started with how many?
The first crop, I think we had 27.
Uh-huh. Right.
And we bought them all, had them all shipped in. But now we go, I go over to Thorough Garden, and they do a great job growing them and raising them for us. Just into the little, they call them plugs.
So are you starting from cuttings?
Some I have in the basement too. I plant and seed, and some varieties have seed and some don't.
Growing lavender from seed.
Propagate some too.
Wow, that's really interesting. Yeah.
Our basement was a greenhouse. I had over 100 down there.
Yeah.
Over the winter.
Yep, over 100 for sure.
Okay, now, are there certain varieties that you like to grow? I don't know if I'm using the right word.
Yeah.
Variety? Yeah, because I know there's lots of different kinds of lavender. Does some do better, or do you?
Yep. So there's, I think they say there's over like 40 varieties, probably even more.
But there's only some that work well in our zone.
Yeah.
So we grow 4 different kinds. The Munstead and Hidcote are the ones we like to use for culinary.
Yep, those are Lavendula and Gustifolias.
Yep. And then Phenomenal, which is long and beautiful for arrangements. That is also culinary, but it has a different taste. And then we have Grosso, which is our later one that blooms, which is really good for essential oils.
Oh, okay. So what was the third one that was?
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. I haven't seen that one. Yeah. Is that new?
It's a newer variety.
Uh-huh.
It's X Intermedia. Same with the Grosso. So that one, you can't grow from seed. That one's got to be propagated.
Oh, because they're hybrids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting.
And you have to have certain, because it's...
It's trademark.
Yeah.
And it's... Oh, I forget. It's got a...
I can't remember.
And I haven't run across those two names. So those are patented varieties. Yeah.
Yep.
So what does that mean for a grower? I mean,
you need to have a license to grow those, and that's where
they keep track. I mean, in a way, you're not allowed to propagate them and sell them or something like that.
I mean,
I mean the plants.
Right. That's why we go to Thorough, because they have that license.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So Thoreau starts things from seed? Or just starts, these, does the cuttings?
Yep. They start theirs from the cuttings. Mm-hmm. So they must, I'm not sure how they do it. Maybe mm-hmm. they have mother plants, or maybe they order in mother plants and then take the, and propagate those, mm-hmm. get them all started, and then they sell those to us.
Mm-hmm.
And well, whoever else.
Well, that's a wonderful service. I mean, people in the area who might need a service like that.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't have the propagation environment to do that at right. home, or to do it in that quantity or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that other growers could use Thoreau for. Because
yeah.
Thoreau is a little greenhouse here in Viroqua that was started through the Waldorf School. And now it's connected with Thoreau College. Mm-hmm. It used to be the greenhouse in town.
Yeah.
And then it was a flower basket, and then it was growing for good. And now it's Thoreau Greenhouse, I guess. So mm-hmm. it's really connected with the college. And then and so that's a place to get plants, and
yeah,
really, it's really interesting. I love to hear how people are connected this way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So let's just talk about a little bit just how lavender grows and what parts you harvest and when you harvest and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Our lavender, the Munstead usually is the first bloomers,
mm-hmm.
and that's the angustifolia one. So that mm-hmm. means it's an English lavender,
mm-hmm.
and it is... it's best for culinary use because it has a lower camphor content to it.
Oh, okay. Because we're really associating lavender with a really strong scent, right?
Right.
And that's associated with camphor.
Mm-hmm.
That comes from the camphor. So I'm sure people don't even think of cooking with lavender or using it as food. So we'll get to that. But anyway, so the first thing to bloom is the Munstead.
Munstead, yep.
And that's an English lavender, angustifolia.
Yep.
So,
so we go through and we start harvesting that. And then...
And what do you harvest?
Just
the blooming stems or some of the leaves? I mean, you can't really separate them from the leaves, can you?
We do.
Oh.
It's a lot of handwork.
With scissors or what?
Scissors?
Yeah. We usually just take them... The leaves off by hand, and but we know it's ready when like 30% of the plant has flowers. So like it's the buds, and it gets the great color, and then the flowers come, and that's when we know that it's time to harvest. Yep.
Okay, so then you cut the stems off with the leaves and everything. Mm-hmm. Cut it way down.
Yeah.
Cut the plant way down, or what?
You try to stay two to 3 inches above the wood.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's yep.
And then, will it rebloom or not? It will.
Yeah.
Ours did. Ours has come in here for a second one already.
We just
got done a few weeks ago. A lot of work. And it looks like we're going to get another one.
Yeah. Or maybe,
Well, it helps if it rains, doesn't it?
They love this weather.
Do they like the hot weather? Well, you do think these herbs, a lot of them really grow in the Mediterranean.
Yes,
practically
exactly.
Wild.
It's a Mediterranean plant.
And just live practically in a desert kind of environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when you harvest them, then you manually strip off the leaves and just keep the stem with the flower bud on mm-hmm. there.
Yep, and keep the leaves too for some products.
Yep. You can use the whole plant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they're fragrant too, right?
Yeah. And even the stem, we use that too for products. Because everything contains the essential oil, which is where you get your
scent from. Oh, I see. So certainly to make
the
oils.
But the buds is the main source of the essential oil.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I'm so excited to find out about this. I've been reading about it too and thinking, this is way too much. And I have like 6 lavender plants and I can't get them through the winter. So I'm very appreciative of what you do. This is a lot of handwork.
Yeah. Yep.
They are so beautiful though when they're just in these rows of these mounds and then blooming. And
we're very lucky. It's just beautiful out there. Mm-hmm. You pull up to and we get home and you can, it's more fragrant in the morning and then after the sun sets and it's, you can just smell it in the yard. Like, it just smells so good.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. That's just wonderful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And we've had a photographer, out this year.
Oh. Took
pictures for people. Like, he did mini sessions and used our lavender. And
oh, I bet. Yeah. I bet. There's just a very beautiful plant. So then, but you do the cutting by hand. You're not using any kind of mechanical
cut. No.
No, you really have to choose what you're cutting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. We use hand sickles, scissors, mm-hmm. and then just little pruners.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then after the Munstead comes the Hidcote.
Yep.
Hidcote, how you pronounce it?
I say Hidcote.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
It's deep purple. It's my favorite. It's just beautiful.
That's another English.
For the flower.
And the buds, too, are deep purple. Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep, that's an English one, so we like to use that definitely for selling buds, like at the farmer's market for mm-hmm. culinary use, because mm-hmm. it's so pretty. It's a great garnish, and it's English, so it's good for the culinary use, and it's got a nice, lovely scent to it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we're on the culinary varieties, let's talk about how you can use it. I guess one of the things I was thinking was, the Herbe de Provence, which is a mixture of lavender in with some other herbs from Provence.
Sure.
And I don't even know how to use that either. I've bought it thinking I'm going to use it, but I don't really know how. But that was the first time I realized, you can put lavender in food. So yeah. How do you use it? Sparingly?
Yes, actually. A little goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the mint family, so like with rosemary and sage and thyme. And so, yeah, we can, obviously, like we said, we can use the whole plant, but at the farmer's market, we make lavender lemonade, which has just a beautiful natural color. We squeeze all the lemons, the sugar, and then let it sit overnight with our buds in a cheesecloth bag.
Okay.
And we wake up in the morning, it's a beautiful pink color, but if you do use, not so much we haven't found with the lemonade, but if you do use it in cookies or anything like that, sometimes it can get, like, if you use too much, it's like soapy kind of taste. So you go slow and you start low and kind of go to the taste that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, yeah, too much floury starts tasting like soap.
Yes.
Yeah,
but
yeah. What are some other flowers, like rose flowers or rose water orange blossom water? You know, mm-hmm. you want this suspicion of flavor, but you don't want to overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
So, yeah, what other things could you put it in besides a drink?
You could do drinks. You can mix it with sugar or blend it up in a food processor. And then you can use that sugar.
We brought you some.
Oh, my gosh, this is a treasure. This is a lovely pint jar with a lavender bow on it. This has been made with white sugar, and it's blended up?
Yep, so it's lavender sugar. Yep.
Oh, it was sealed. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, that is lovely. So how would I use that on baked goods?
Yes. Yep, for bacon. So I was going to make some lemon bars with, and when you go to put the sugar in, you just use this lavender sugar. And the lavender goes really well with lemon.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the other day I made a meal, and I can't remember the recipe now, but it had like a cream cheese, some lemon squeeze, and I decided, well, I'll just throw some lavender buds in it. And so I put them all in the pot, brought it to a boil, and then simmered it and let it set for a while, and then I strained it. And it definitely had that lavender taste. It was delicious.
It was
and
so
then
good.
We put that on top of chicken.
Oh, really?
Chicken or lamb is another good one.
Yeah.
Betsy did lamb earlier.
We have a sous vide.
Sous vide, yes.
Got to say the D.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we've gotten lamb from the Jacobson's farm at the farmer's market and pork chops, and we use that in, you know, put your extra virgin oil in there and then your dried or fresh lavender. And then we put rosemary in there, let it cook in the temperature, and then sear it on each side when it's done. And it's just amazing.
Yeah.
It tastes really good. It has so much flavor.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
You get those floral notes, and it's something totally new.
Yeah.
Like, you don't come across lavender-flavored
meat.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, my son gave me a sous vide for Christmas, and I'd never heard of it before. And he says, oh, Mom, all the restaurants use it. Can you describe what it is and how people use it?
Yeah, so we actually got it as a gift, too, from Lee's dad. And the first, we think we had it a whole year before we were like, oh gosh, how do we use this thing? But it comes with a little bit of instructions on which meat you have. And then you fill up a pot of water. You put your meat in there in a Ziploc bag with your herbs and your oil. Put it in the water with the sous vide. And set it at the temperature, and you can't overcook it.
You can't?
No. Mm-hmm. Nope. So for, like, the lamb and pork chops, I just do an hour, and I think, gosh, it's at 130? Oh, I could be wrong. Whatever it tells me I need to do. And then when it's done, then I just sear it on each side, and that's it. So, but you can let it sit for hours and it never overcooks.
You can see why restaurants would use this.
Oh, it's perfect.
So you're keeping your meat at a temperature that you know it's going to be done.
Yes.
Right. On the rare side or whatever. And then you just pull it out. It hasn't been in water because it's been in a bag.
Right.
Right. And then you just throw it on the grill and pull it.
The water.
And just sear it.
The sous vide just warms the water to the exact temp and that's what cooks it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
because that keeps you from having to just tend this meat on a grill or something and know when you've gotten to the safe more point and everything. But
especially pork chops. Those are rough. Those are tough. It's a very fine line between dry and not done.
Dry and rare.
Yeah.
Dry and raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Well, you're encouraging me to go back and reread the instructions and start with something because my son was so excited that he got me this and I was like you put it on. I did the same thing with my, you know, Instapot. I was familiar with the old pressure cooker, which is kind of can be dangerous and you know you've got to really watch it and everything. And gosh, the Instapot is so easy, but I had all these buttons and everything. I did put off using that for a while. That's just a wonderful invention, too.
Yeah.
Lavender with meat. That is. And so doing it in the sous vide in the bag, it just is just a subtle flavor. I mean, it doesn't get overdone or anything. It's just kind of there. What else do you put in with your... You're putting in other herbs?
Yeah, well, salt and pepper, of course. And then I love rosemary. We grow that in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Cilantro. What else do we do? Sometimes it's thyme, things like that. Ooh, sage. We actually grow white sage.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a culinary sage that we grew and dried over the winter. So,
So you really have herb gardens.
Yes.
Lots of herbs. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Are you in the valley or on the ridge?
We're on the ridge.
Uh-huh. Do you think that makes a difference for the growing?
Yeah. So lavender doesn't like clay. And we have clay on the ridge.
Oh. So what did you have to do?
We got the soil, actually. Before we started planting, we got the soil tested for the pH level. Mm-hmm. And then we figured out how we needed to get it to the pH level that the lavender liked.
What is it like?
I believe it's 6.5 to 7.5, possibly. Yep. So we mix, put sand in it, and get river sand. And that actually helps with the pH as well. But mostly that's for draining the water. So I'll till in the lime and the sand. And then I also build it into rows, so the lavender's setting up higher.
Okay,
and it has
wondered.
More room to drain.
Okay, I yep. wondered. So it's still in the ground. It's not raised beds, but you
no.
just
no.
but you and you use tilling machines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So like a mound. They're in mounds.
Yeah.
Mounds.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Well, that is really good advice. So the pH is important.
It is.
You guys have really done your homework.
It's quite the learning curve.
Yeah.
Well, thank goodness for the internet, because that's probably a big source of information.
Yeah.
I mean,
we
you can read books. And
yeah, I went back to college for 30 hours.
Really? To study what?
Yeah.
It was growing lavender curriculum through Michigan State University. You could do it right online.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
Yep.
Oh, well, I just want to take a break. You're listening to WDRT Community Radio from Viroqua 91.9 FM and streaming live on the internet at WDRT.org, where you can listen to this show and other shows on our podcasts. Just go to Who's in the Kitchen and listen to, you know, choose the archives you can listen to this show and many others. And this is, I'm talking with Betsy and Lee Sheldon from the Cashton area off of Highway 33. And they have a lavender farm, and I met them at the Viroqua Farmers Market, where they come every Saturday from, well, I guess, 8 to 12, something like that, 12:30.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 12:30. Yep.
And so we're talking about growing lavender. They learned how to do this by self-teaching, and now Lee said he did take a course online from Michigan, University of Michigan, did you say?
Yep, Michigan State.
they just started out not knowing anything about it, picked a crop and decided to do it, loving lavender and learning how to get it through the winter, which we have talked about. So if you just tuned in and you want to know, you will need to go to the archives and hear their wonderful tricks of getting lavender to grow all the way through the winter and survive. And how many plants do you have now?
450.
Now, will you have more? Or are you kind of sticking with that amount, or
we'd like to do more because it's just
addicting.
Really fun. Yeah,
it's addicting.
Yeah. I think we're going to take a break from planting this, mm-hmm. you know, this mm-hmm. next time. But
we got a lot of half of those plants are just new ones that I planted this year. So in a year, like next year, they'll give us we'll get buds from them, and then the following year is when they start getting really big. So it takes a lavender plant about 3 years to fully mature.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to have, and like we thought we had a lot of lavender this year for us, because we both work full time and we got three girls. And so next year it's going to be about twice as much. So we might take a break from
planting more for
I kind of want to grow a lot of Grosso.
Yeah. Oh, I love Grosso.
Now that we still it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we have two more varieties that we haven't talked about. And these are the, you know, hybrids and their proprietary, you know, breeds or whatever. Mm-hmm. So what's different about them from your English lavender?
The main thing is the level of camphor in them. So they're a lot higher percentage of camphor compared to the English. So they're going to have a lot stronger scent to them.
Oh, okay. So if you're growing lavender for scent, the phenomenal and the Grosso would be two varieties.
Yep. Grosso is one of the highest yielding essential oil lavender plant. And
okay.
it does, it's good uh-huh. in our zone. So.
Yeah, that's always something to really be aware of is, you know, your zone. Your soil, we just talked about the soil, and you did have to amend the soil to, what did you say, about 6.5 to 7.5 pH?
Yeah.
And did some river sand and lime to amend the soil and raise it up into kind of mounds.
Yep.
And so tell me, when do you go and harvest? Is there a time? Do you try to do it like after the dew is off, before noon or something like that. I know herbs are kind of, they're the highest in the camphor. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yep. In the morning, right before it gets hot. So, and then in the evening, right when the sun's going down, there's the highest levels.
Okay.
Sometimes we don't have time and either of those times, so we have to do it in the middle of the day.
Yeah, if you're just looking for perfection. So now you have these things cut, and they would be maybe 10, 12 inches tall, or maybe are they even higher?
Yeah, so the phenomenal gets to be about 2 feet long.
Oh, really?
Grosso's about the same.
So then what do? You have baskets, or what are you putting them?
We bundle them together and hang them upside down.
Okay.
Yep, and then that way they dry. We do it in the garage. And I have it set up where the windows are open, and I got a barn fan through the garage door, and then I plastic the rest of it off. So the only way air can flow through there is it'll come in through the windows, flow past the lavender, and out that barn fan. The barn fan blows it back outside. So that's drying the plants while they're hanging upside down.
So that's really important, so they don't get moldy. And
yes. Yeah, and then they keep just a wonderful shape. When you hang them upside down, it's like a bouquet.
So you don't lay them down on trays or anything. You hang them upside down.
And then you keep it in the garage or anywhere where it's a little more dark, just not in direct sunlight.
Right.
And then they hold that beautiful purple color that they have.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And after that, now you have all these dry bundles.
Yes.
They're pretty fragile.
Yeah, they are.
You bump them, buds come off. But there's.
But you can't notice.
Tell.
No.
There's so many buds.
Yeah.
Okay. They're not that fragile. I mean, you don't lose everything.
So, we'll use the bundles as decoration and vases or, bouquets. People use them in their weddings. It's a great. And you can keep it for years after your wedding because it's already dried. But we take the buds off and we put them in like our bath salts. We use our essential oils that we distill in our lavender spray. And we do the hydrosol, which is another thing that comes from distilling. It's lavender-infused water, distilled water essentially. We make sachets and then lots of other stuff too.
Yeah, all kinds of.
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough hours in the day for you to do all that.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to retire. Because, making all the products, that's a lot of work.
We really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm in school for my graduate degree. So sometimes I'm reading.
She's a little busy.
Reading
busy.
While doing some products. But, yeah.
Well, lavender just has just wonderful qualities. I'm sure you it's calming.
It is.
You got to make sure you do it right before bed.
Yeah.
Like after the farmer's market, we're just so tired when we get home.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's from being in the booth with all the lavender, being outside getting that fresh air. It's just we get home and we crash.
Mm-hmm. We probably got up pretty early in the morning.
Yeah, and the girls come with us too, so it's you're just constantly on, keeping track of these girls. And
what age are they?
The twins are 5, and our oldest is 8.
Okay, well, they're interested in lavender and stuff. They care about it.
They do. Yeah. It's so fun. It was one of our thoughts, when we first started, let's plant something, and it was okay, let's get these girls outside, let's teach them hard work and watch them watch us do hard work. And so that was one
of makes something beautiful and sweet.
Exactly.
That is really nice. So you were saying that the phenomenal and the grosso are not really good for culinary use. So they're what you use to make essential oils?
Mainly, right? In the buds. Phenomenal is the workhorse. I mean, you can use it in culinary use. It might have a little more of a tartier flavor because of that camphor, but that's a pretty well-rounded lavender plant. Mm-hmm. I would recommend mm-hmm. using either like Hayco or Munstead for culinary uses. Mm-hmm.
So how do you use the buds then?
Yeah, so we use, we take off the bud. Once everything's dry, I put it in a paper bag. So a bundle is, 60 to 75 stems that we do. We don't count them. We used to, and I stopped that.
Eyeball it.
Yeah. Yes.
As much as your hand will go around or whatever.
Yeah. We just don't have time to be counting them. I just put them in a paper bag, and you kind of just rough them around, and all the buds fall off pretty easily. Mm-hmm. So I put those in my weighted little stuffed animals, the weighted teddy bears, the sachets, the bath salts, tea bags.
So what do you add to the lavender buds for this filling? Do you use buckwheat or use something to fill the...
The stuffed animals?
Yeah.
We use...
Lavender leaves?
Lavender leaves in the buds, but also...
It's the...
I know.
Flaxseed.
Flaxseed.
Oh, flaxseed. Yes. Okay. That has kind of
I just
of a...
did some this okay. morning. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, flaxseed. And then we're going to look into... We bought some walnut shells, which actually work as well for making like heating pads. So besides flaxseed, there's also walnut shells.
Okay.
We haven't put them in yet, or Betsy uh-huh. hasn't, but uh-huh. we might play around with that too.
Yeah.
That makes me think about the hazelnut company. I don't know if you know, there's a hazelnut. The American Hazelnut Company is in Gay's Mills.
Oh, wow.
Cool. And they have byproducts from their hazelnuts, so there's hazelnut shells.
Oh.
But they've been looking for uses for the shells. And they're kind of sharp. I don't know how far ground your walnut shells are, but, you know, nut shells kind of have pokey things. Yeah. So I guess there's a certain grinding process. But anyway, might be another local company to coordinate with.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So the buds can be used in sachets and things like that. Yeah. I know somebody has been using my massage therapist uses a
iPad.
Yeah, I want to say iPad.
Yeah.
Pillow.
iPillow.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I know that, you know what, just that, I know it has flax and it has that kind of weighted
yes.
quality that
yes.
lays on your face and it's really nice.
Yes.
So flaxseed works for that, huh?
Yeah.
And can you heat it?
Yep. You can heat it.
And like in a microwave.
Yeah, and it doesn't have that smell like that rice has.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why we didn't use rice.
Mm-hmm. Or you could keep it in the refrigerator or the freezer or
Absolutely.
Something. It could be a
yeah.
cooling pad.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, that would be, that's really lovely. Okay, so you use the buds that way. Do you use the buds, say, in, I don't know all these words, like tincture, decoction, or something like that? Do you do anything with that?
Our lotion that I make in the lip balm, I use the buds in a cheesecloth, again, and I soak with the oils. I soak it in there for like 20 minutes to 30 minutes.
What oils would those be?
The oils is like coconut oil, shea butter, almond oil. Depends on what I'm making.
Something really bland. Not,
yes.
not flavored like olive
no.
oil.
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so then that's, and then I kind of, when it's done soaking, I squeeze it out and then finish everything else that I'm doing mm-hmm. with it. But mm-hmm. so it has that, it gets all of this good stuff from it without kind of the mess of the buds and so you're not rubbing buds all over your arm or anything like right. that.
Although
so.
I think you see sometimes soaps made with a little bit of
yeah.
flower
yeah.
buds in them, and they're rough in a way.
Yeah,
you
know,
yeah. Defoliants. Or...
Yeah, I just started making, my mom actually makes us our body soap bars, and that kind of has that rough feeling. And then.
Oh, okay, so your mom is involved.
yeah, she
Does
makes,
she live
she makes
nearby? Or is she in Liberty Bowl?
She's still in Liberty Bowl.
Still in Liberty Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So once you have this oil, mm-hmm. you can make salves, you can make lotion, and people can look up how to do that. But lotion mm-hmm. has water in it, whereas a salve has no water in it.
Our lotion does not have water in it.
What does it have?
Oh, goodness.
Oh.
we use the natural bees or the local bees.
Local beeswax we got from a neighbor.
Okay.
And gosh.
So you would have to warm that, the beeswax and the oil, the scented oil together. But
cocoa butter actually is in there too.
Okay. I always thought lotion had some kind of like.
Humectant
or something wet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not water.
Not this one.
It's not water. Mm-mm. No. Oh, okay.
It's like a balm almost.
Oh, okay. And then you make lip balm.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed. I am amazed at what you were doing. Do you sleep?
The lavender helps.
Yeah, the lavender helps. That's right. Yes.
So, gosh, the lip balm. So then you have to get, do you get tubes or do you use, put it in a little tin or what?
Yep, we have tubes. Mm-hmm. And then the lotion, too, is in, I have it in a tube. It's like a paper tube.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just rub it on. And
oh, that's neat. Are you trying to stay away from plastic?
We do. Like all of our sprays are in glass bottles. Especially
because
the essential oil doesn't like to be in plastic either.
It would really, I think it would. Exchange properties, and you really don't want plastic around that. Oh, that's really good. You know, I'm sort of known as the plastic police here in Viroqua. I'm part of the Viroqua Plastic Free, and we're trying to encourage people to get away from plastic. It isn't really healthful.
No.
And it's used in so much food packaging, and I don't think people realize you really should stay away from plastic. And, you know, the single-use plastic is... You know, we just really trying to make people in Viroqua aware, you know, use cloth bags and use burlap and use other things and reuse your bags and try not to just get something that's just going to get thrown out.
Yep.
Right.
And go to the landfill.
Yes.
Like our lavender lemonade, we sell that in glass bottles at the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm. I got
so
some.
So people can reuse them.
That was really beautiful stuff. Wow. It was so attractive. That pink lemonade smelling like lavender. So tell us a little bit about essential oils. I think we just have a few more minutes, but just what is an essential oil and why is it so expensive? I think people will know after you explain the process.
Yeah.
Well, there's first, if you go on our Facebook page, I do have a video of Lee explaining it. But I don't know if you want to do a short version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Well, let's just name your Facebook page. How is that?
So it's just Lolaylar Lavender on Facebook, or our website also is www.lolaylarlavender.com.
Okay.
That's how you can find us.
Yeah, why don't you run us through the process?
Okay. So we have a copper alembic still, and it's small enough to be right on top of our stove.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So the process is you put your lavender in it.
Now, what part of the lavender are you using, the stems and everything?
Yep, stems and everything. And then you put some water in there, and you seal it all up. You get the water boiling in there. And that's turns to steam, which rises through the lavender, which brings out the essential oils and all the properties. And then it goes down, and it cools down.
On tubes, right? Copper tubes?
Yep, I got a copper, so it's like a big arm that comes off that makes it alembic. And it that arm then turns down, and it goes in a spiral through a can that is filled with cold water. And then that cools that steam back down to a liquid. And then that comes out into our separator. So it's like water, but there's oil in it, right? So the oil's going to rise. And in our separator, that's what's happening is the hydrosol is going in a different tube than the oil. So then we have hydrosol and we have essential oil.
Okay, and can you use the hydrosol?
Yes.
Yes.
We have it bottled.
So there's no waste, really.
No.
Uh-huh. So you've got this oil that, I mean, when you think about it, it's been probably a really thin slick on the top of a lot of water.
Yeah.
And then, but then the steam turns back into water, and you can use that. That's called hydrosol?
Yes, and we use it. It's like a natural pain reliever. We have it in a spray bottle that says lavender water. We use it on sunburns. Oh gosh, facial toner. You can add a couple other like bug repellent essential oils to the bottle itself, and then just make it a bug repellent.
Right. We've been finding out that the gnats don't like lavender.
Right.
That's really wonderful, and then you don't have to use a poison on yourself.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. To be an
people have been asking for bug spray, but I just tell them like, here's a couple essential oils you can put in this, because otherwise we get to be making a lot of different products. Mm-hmm. So people
can just buy the essential oil and make their own products.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you need, like, I think vanilla is a big one that you mm-hmm. add to it. And I'm sure there's a couple other ones that are pretty common.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Is there anything else you want to tell us about lavender?
That we could go on. We're a little obsessed.
Well, I can see, I was getting the idea, well, like with this lavender sugar, which they just gave me a pint jar of this precious stuff. This could just be sprinkled on donuts or on cupcakes or just anything you want to garnish with a little sweet sugar. You mm-hmm. could stir it maybe into a pot of tea, maybe a cup of tea.
Yes.
Coffee.
Coffee?
Yep. Yeah.
Really? Lavender coffee?
Yeah, we have lavender tea bags. We use them in like coffee,
hot chocolate.
Spirits.
Just regular tea. Yeah.
Lavender and chocolate's got to be fantastic.
You can put it in some vodka or something like that, and it absorbs that lavender.
That.
People might do that.
They might.
Yeah.
In your tea bags, is that just the buds?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really good.
Just
some honey, too.
And what wonderful
if you put honey in
gifts
it.
To give people.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be so unique, you know?
The other day I made a honey lavender glaze. So honey's another big one that you can...
Like for meat or what glaze for what?
Corn. He put it over cornbread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Very good.
It wasn't gluten-free, so I couldn't have it, but the girls loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It wasn't gluten-free.
The cornbread wasn't.
Oh, I see.
I had the glaze. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So you have to stay away from gluten.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you substitute, in breads or?
I just don't eat it.
I mean, what can you use instead of gluten flour? We have lots of flours.
There are almond flour, things like that.
Mm-hmm. I think almond flour and lavender would be a nice combination, too, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's been about 12 years of gluten-free, so I don't know. I don't remember what it was like before, to be honest.
Oh, gosh.
But, yeah.
Well, that's really great. So let's just kind of go over where people can find you. I'm talking to Betsy and Lee Sheldon, and they have a farm outside of Cashton on Highway 33. And you can go and visit, I suppose. They're not really set up yet, like, you know, major tourism or anything like that. But they have 450 plants, some very young. And they're making a lot of products, and they sell at the farmer's market. And you have a website. You could say the name of that again.
www.lolaylarlavender.com.
So that's LOLAYLAR.
Yes.
For your daughter's names.
Yes.
That's really cute.
And we are also at the Westby Daily Brew. We have products up there at the coffee shop.
Do you have anything at the Verroco Food Co-op?
No, we don't.
Not yet. Anyway.
I'd like to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of a goal.
And then we also have a florist shop in Cashin called Mabel's on Main. She sells some of our stuff. And then a little boutique in Sparta. And then the apple orchard next door is going to sell our stuff during the fall. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, that really helps that other people are carrying your products, because it takes a lot of time to meet with customers. I have a little business here in Verroco called Paper, Scissors, Stone. And we have our products at Utopia, because Utopia is open all the time, and we have a warehouse, and we really don't have, you know, time to be, you know, a retail store, too.
Right.
And I think that's one thing for all the farmers and people who grow products is, like, transportation, distribution, marketing, and all that kind of stuff.
There's a lot that goes into, well, into trying to sell the product, just the labels itself.
Really? Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because that can apply to other businesses besides lavender. But so you have containers, you have labels, you have, what else do you have? You have to figure out how you're going to get this to other people.
Yeah. Right.
So the farmer's market is nice, but that takes a lot of time, doesn't it? I mean,
it does.
Five or 6 hours every Saturday to just be there.
We really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I love talking with people.
And our girls, you know, growing up in the country, like, I realized on our first time we brought them, they didn't even know to, like, get on one side of the sidewalk for people. Like, they were kind of missing those social skills that you learn, you know, living in town. And so they've grown a lot. I mean, the last couple months I've seen them just change.
Interacting with the public and everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as far as labels, what do you have to label?
We label everything. So first we came up with a design, our Lolita Arts right on top right there.
Oh, okay.
LOL. Yeah. A lot of lavender companies go with the purple and white, but we went with kind of purple and black, and we wanted a more masculine. Mm-hmm. So, and so we just kind of base all of our stickers and labels off of that, and yeah. Mm-hmm.
Put ingredients on.
Right, ingredients.
Yes.
I was kept looking at the clock to see if we were running too close. So we've been talking about lavender and lavender growing and lavender products with Betsy and Lee Sheldon. They have a little business called Lolaylar. Little business. I mean, it is really seems like it's full time, and yet they both have full time jobs, and they have three girls. And they go to the farmer's market, but they also sell their products in various outlets in the area, in the Driftless area. And I guess if anybody wanted to contact you, you do some mail order stuff?
Yes, we do shipping, yeah.
Yeah, that would be another thing.
Yeah.
lots to do. And we've been talking about the cultivation of lavender and then uses of lavender in various health and cosmetics, and also in food, which just fascinated me that you can use lavender in food and drinks and it's just so healthy. Mm-hmm. What a lovely business to be in. It's a great contribution to the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Betsy and Lee, for being on Who's in the Kitchen.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm Philothea Beeson, and you've been listening to Who's in the Kitchen on WDRT 91.9 FM. It's streaming live on the internet at WDRT.org. We air every Saturday at noon. And the last Saturday of the month is my farm show, Digging Deep. So I hope you'll tune into that also. And we'll see you next week.
Riding to Kentucky on a southbound train, listen to that banjo driving rhythm through my brain. Just left home this morning, can't say the reason why. I'm a going down to Louisville to see my pony ride, to see my pony ride. Train's running right, I'll be there tomorrow night. Ride in that bluegrass train, ride in that bluegrass train. Lost all my money on a horse that didn't show. Porter, can I pay my way with this old banjo? I've gotta get to Nashville before the sun is gone. While I play my lonesome song, play my lonesome song. Now I'm riding that bluegrass train.